Hi there. Welcome to our podcast, Cozy Conversations with the Sister Project. My name is Michelle.
And my name's Lauren, and we are your hosts.
Hey, host.
Hey, ho.
This is our version of a radio talk show, and every week you can join us for a sisterly chat where we talk about literally everything.
We're going to tackle current events, what's going on in the world around us. We'll share some personal insight and stories, and of course, share random bits of things we think you should know, along with whatever else sisters talk about.
There's a lot. So If you're into easy listening, lots of laughing, and some inspiration sprinkled throughout, we are going to be fast, weird internet friends.
Welcome.
Why, hello, and welcome to Cozy Conversations with the Sister Project. I am your host, Lauren Massarella, being joined by my co-host and my sister, Michelle Anderson. So on today's episode, we were joined by style expert, Today Show and E! Contributor, fellow yoga teacher, and one of our very favorite weird internet friends, Melissa Chatain. We were introduced by Melissa from, you guessed it, our Cozy Convo content contributor and dear friend, Kim Berg-Friesel, who met Melissa on a flight from Chicago to LA many, many moons ago when they were both leaving the Midwest to begin a new life on the West Coast. We clicked with Melissa instantly because of her no bullshit mentality and her ability to tell it like it is. It's pretty much what we love about her most. This conversation went from fashion to trauma, back to fashion, and then some grief talk. We go deep, but as always, we find ways to learn and always ways to laugh. We're so damn grateful that Melissa joined us on this episode and cannot wait to have her back on again because you better believe she will be back. Please be sure to follow Melissa on her Instagram at Melissa Chatain and click on the link in her bio to sign up for her weekly newsletter. It's an amazing addition to your inbox, I promise. And while you're on Instagram, please be sure to follow us over at The Sister Proj, as well as at Cozy Convos with TSP. And don't forget, please subscribe to our podcast, leave us a review. But above all, please, for the love of God, share us with your friends and family. That is the most magical thing you can do for us. All right, you guys, sit back, relax, and enjoy this incredible conversation with Melissa.
I'm all jazzed up right now because I don't even know where to begin. This morning, I saw the news and I shared with Michelle about the Project Runway contestant. It's Michael Costello, right? Yeah. And he came forward with some information that he was also kind of like blacklisted by Chrissy and also told, you know, to die, amongst other things, because there was, I don't even know the story. I just caught up briefly a rumor or a story that he had called someone a racial slur.
A former employee put out this meme or rumor that he calls someone the N-word, and she was so appalled by it and basically was like, you know, you horrible person, I'll never work with you, and you're garbage, I hope you die. And he was like, please listen to me, like, this did not happen, this is a disgruntled employee, I would love the opportunity to correct this, please give me a call, this is my number. And in any situation, I've been called the N-word multiple times in my life and career, and I always give someone the opportunity to say, like, to basically clear their name or explain what happened, especially if it didn't come from their mouth. If I didn't hear it directly, if I didn't hear it from the person's mouth, I want to know the truth. Mm-hmm. So in that situation, I would obviously give them, hey, like, what happened? Or if this is rumor, we never listen to rumors these days. This is social media.
Exactly.
Like, something on social media, like, what? But I would just never say, you know, F you, I hope you die. Or and maybe that's just the Scorpio in me. If I don't want something to do with someone, I just cauterize the situation. Yep. I just remove myself. I remove them from my table. But everyone has the opportunity in this world to make money. Everyone has the opportunity to hustle. I don't maliciously go out of my way to hurt people who have hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
Even people that have hurt me in the past, that's just not the kind of person I am. I've had awful situations that happened to me in college that a sorority sister of mine did call me the N-word.
Like,
she went
out
to be a lawyer. To my face, wrote Jesus it on Christ. The board in my senior house, and I reported it to my sorority. I reported it to the school. They did nothing about it.
I was just going to ask you, did they do anything about it?
No.
Brushes under the rug.
About it. And it was more or less like, is this 2002, 2003? And it was almost like it was like a gaslit situation because it was like, oh, well, she was such a leader and she was such a nice person. But there was also like racism at that time was just like almost kind of a hush thing, you know, Illinois in that time.
Yep.
And it was almost like he said, she said, and nothing happened about it. Nothing happened. And it broke my heart. It hurt me so badly. She went on to become a lawyer. I'm sure this was not the last time this happened. And, you know.
Have you ever reached out to her since and just addressed her like, hey, you remember that one fucked up time?
Oh, no, it was not one fucked up time.
Oh, okay. Wow. So this is a character thing.
I'll just say this is a character thing.
Yeah.
But this is a character thing where like someone like that shouldn't have become a lawyer. Someone like that shouldn't have had those opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting to me, and this is why it came up. It was interesting to me because I have mutual friends still that were friends with her in college, and they recently saw each other, and Instagram is a great way to see what pops up. And there was a story that popped up, and they were together at a brunch over the weekend in Chicago, and there's the girl, and she's literally dying of cancer.
Oh,
and
no.
I was like like it took me a beat because I was like, oh my god. But I always see in life, like, if karma doesn't come for you now, it comes for you later. And I always believe hatred in your heart is disease, and
yes,
it manifests later, and disease brings disease.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it upset me that I was so triggered by it because I cried when I saw this girl sick.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I understand. But later, you're compassionate.
But then I also was like, I was compassionate, but I also had like a little bit of like, see, that's what happened. And then I told my husband, and it bothered me that I said that. And I had to like literally center myself and meditate. And like, I literally put like selenite on me because I was like, ooh, there's still hatred and there's still anger in me about this situation that I had to cleanse because I don't wish her hate. I don't wish her harm. I feel so bad that happened to her and her kids and her family.
But right.
I also was like, all that hatred that you spread and that pain that you caused me manifested later in your life. And look at you. You see what I'm saying?
I completely understand.
You see the circle? And I looked at this Chrissy Teigen situation of how vile secretly she was. We saw her as this goofy, funny person on Twitter and blah, 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 blah. But the life that she leads off screen and the person that she truly is manifested. And time always brings out the truth. And now we see her true character.
Yes. And there was something I want to say about Chrissy Teigen in regards to the Courtney Stodden situation.
Yes.
So I've told this to Michelle. I'm like a broken record. What pisses me off the most, and I'm not here to cancel Chrissy. I'm not here. I'm also not going to buy her stuff. And I was never a huge fan. So it is what it is. So it's like, whatever. But with the whole Courtney Stodden thing, and for folks that are tuning in with Courtney, she was 16 years old when she wed a 51-year-old actor. And what pisses me off the most is that Chrissy could have used her influence and her platform to raise awareness for a young woman, young girl that's being taken advantage of, and maybe go, if she really wants to use that bully card, go after the creep. But instead she went after this young girl, and it freaks me out that that's where she centered her attention, on the victim and not the predator.
She is no different as the model who she said was so poor during Miami Fashion Week and wed her beau, as we know that, you know, her husband, who is a wealthy gentleman.
Right.
And she had no money, and she's no different than her. And let's come full circle. It bothers me so much so that she wished her harm and told her to kill herself. And you know, my sister, as you guys know,
of
she
course.
Committed suicide at 21. So like anyone who has that such vagrant disregard for life and just is so vagrant, just like kill yourself, blacklist you, I don't want to send you clients. It's just so toxic behavior. And now she's like, well, I've grown. I'm like, well, now you probably have grown because you're raising children.
Yes.
You know, your husband's Sean Legend, you're raising children, you've probably grown up a bit, but now it's all coming back to
it's
you.
It's all coming back.
I hope we all, I don't necessarily want to cancel her, but I hope we can all take this as a lesson to recognize how you speak, how you carry yourself. nothing that you say in text messages is ever private.
No.
Everything will be screenshot. Even those friends that you think you have will always, you know, just be mindful. I hope this is a learning lesson for everyone.
Yeah.
Even if you were an asshole in your past, think about how you've been and try to repair it or make those apologies and make your peace.
I love the way you just packaged it up, the end of it. And I was saying to Michelle, I go, Michelle, listen, if you came up to me and you were like, dude, I was a cyber bully. You may not have known this about me, but I used to like eviscerate people behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And now I'm a mom and I've grown just like what you were saying. And I mean, we all have to make room for forgiveness and moving forward. But it's kind of, I don't know if you paid attention to the Rachel Hollis dilemma and debacle. You know, there's something to be said about like that does come from somewhere, and I don't know what that is and where that anger and that bully mentality comes from. It comes from somewhere, and like you said, it's a learning lesson for us all. Now she knows that no matter what she says or puts out there, it is out there. And that's the one thing what I don't understand is that people put shit out there and then are surprised that it's coming back to bite them in the ass. It's like, you said it. Yeah. It's
you
there.
Said it. That's the life that she lived. That is the energy she put out there. I mean, to blacklist someone in fashion like that and not make them lose jobs, like to maliciously go out of their way, there's a way to do that. Like, there's not one day that I thought of maliciously persecuting that girl that terrorized me my senior year. Like, I always was like, she'll get hers.
Mm-hmm.
I never once thought, like, you reap what you sow. That was just kind of always my MO. Like, if it doesn't come for you one day, it's going to come for you eventually. She will lose a job. Something will happen that you will get yours in your own way. It's not, I will go on and be successful. And I just remove myself from that situation. Mm-hmm. I never wished her harm, but I just knew that it's karma. And listen, I'm no perfect person.
No one is.
By no means. I definitely had my sassiness back in the day. Used to be a little bit of a party girl. I definitely broke some hearts in my day. I definitely.
You don't say.
I was a man eater, you know. And
chew them up and spit them out.
I did a bit in my day. And,
good for you.
And I had my fun. And now I'm happily married and love my husband and we're good.
For our listeners tuning in, they may not realize who that we are speaking to until they see who you are, because they've seen maybe you on, well, just recently Hoda and Jenna on the Today Show, and love seeing you on there. Still with Access Hollywood?
I actually left there in March.
Just recently. Okay. And you are a stylist. And what I love most, and what Michelle and I admire so much about you, and you brought up your sister moments ago, is about how you wanted your mission in life to be associated with fashion, but to help women feel inspired and confident and empowered through the style, through their personal style. We would love to hear, can you tell us a little bit more about what drove you in this direction, both in fashion and also as well as empowering women through their fashion?
My style journey, my mission, it happened, well, one, because I always, when I was little, I always loved television and I always wanted to see someone like me on TV. Growing up, it was like, Oprah's on. Remember the song? Like,
yes. No, I don't.
Yes,
do you?
I do.
I remember the song, like, Oprah's on. And I just,
she could have used
like
your
the
styling.
Only one. And yeah, back in the, oof, yeah, that hair, back in the day, all that. And that was all I saw of representation of me on television. And then growing up in the Chicago suburbs in Bartlett, there was not a lot of people that looked like me. And so I never felt like I really fit in. I was kind of picked on a bit. And I would say my confidence was a bit lower.
Melissa,
I didn't
really
think I was beautiful or attractive until I went to college. So I feel like that was a bit of a catalyst. I mean, there's always a pain point associated to what you do. So mm-hmm. I talk a lot about confidence and style because I grew up not having a lot of confidence and style. And then when my sister struggled with bipolar and depression and then took her life, it came together more or less. Like, I was in the, at the time I was working on being the next Rachel Zoe, styling a bunch of celebrities. And then looking at that, working in that industry, realizing that 99% of the celebrities I was styling had the worst body confidence and lack of self-love ever. And wow. I was like, how can I sit here, become an image maker and put out this false narrative when I should really be working with people, real women, real bodies, instead of dressing size 2, size 0 women that are crying, putting on this dress where I'm like, bitch, if I look like you, I'd be walking around naked.
All day.
All day. And I'm like, crying about your body. And I'm like, my sister's at home struggling with bipolar and depression and not loving life. And she's like the most loving, caring person in the world. There's something wrong with this picture. Mm. So I had to take a step back and just take a break from styling in general, and then refocus. And that's when I realized that Melissa Chatain's style was where I needed to go. So I focused on helping real people, and then focused on my personal styling business for a while. And that was wonderful, but it also was very taxing for me working with one-on-one clients. I think anyone who's a coach understands what that feels like. It's very time consuming and it's limiting, and I knew I wanted more. And when I actually came to California, I was completely in a different field. I actually started my career in healthcare administration.
No kidding.
I was in corporate America. Growing up Haitian, there's not really like a creativity push. It's not, you're like doctor, lawyer.
Yes.
Okay. There's not really like stylist. That's not something that's like in your family. So there was this pressure to have this corporate job, and it wasn't really accepted to do anything else. But then when I moved to California, I had this job. I was so unhappy. And I was like, well, I'm going to assist stylist. And so I was assisting stylist while I had this corporate job. And that's when that I was just slowly doing the other stuff. And it slowly took over, but it was a lot of work. Like, I was working 80-hour weeks where I would get up, do my sales calls in the morning, and then go assist stylists, and then it slowly took over. So there's a lot of work behind the scenes to make the dream come true. And during that time when I was assisting, I also got involved in doing like little red carpets and doing some hosting. And that's where I always loved my passion. But there was that point where you don't want to admit that you want to be in front of the camera. I always thought it was a bit vain to say, like, I want to be a host.
Like, you're so good at it.
Oh my God, I know.
It's difficult to be like, I want to be a host. I do know that part.
I understand where you're coming from on that. It's like, I want everyone to see me and hear me. Yeah.
But there also, I always have, there has to be a point of service for me.
Okay.
So even if I'm hosting or even if I'm styling, like there's that still, what I loved about the healthcare industry is the service, or I'm still helping someone. Mm-hmm. So this is where the styling comes in, where I'm just helping someone on a larger level. So like yesterday on Hoda and Jenna, even for time, because I know this won't come out when it does, but I did a segment on styling one piece in your closet two different ways. So there's always a service factor of helping people improve their style, no matter what I do. And also where I've been working now is on E's Daily Pop. So I do a lot of segments for them. And that's where I love. It's still makeovers, still style segments, still education. And it's always going back to style and confidence and service, helping people improve their style without breaking the bank. Accessible style, elevated confidence.
I love that. Now, in your bit, Melissa, you on your reel on your website, you did. I watched your whole reel. It's so awesome, and I love the part you said about what you just mentioned about not breaking your bank, about breaking the bank, but looking like a Parisian woman. Yeah. How does one dress? Because Michelle and I really want to know this.
Not like a hobo.
And how do you dress like a Parisian without breaking the bank?
That's funny. I believe in having a capsule wardrobe, but that capsule wardrobe has to be what that style is for you. So Parisian style, I love Parisian style. And it's a Parisian style. If you ask a Parisian woman, she'll be like, I don't know what you're talking about. They don't have like Parisian style over there. They just have pieces that they buy that last for a long time. So instead of buying fast fashion over there, they'll buy the Chanel jacket, but the Chanel jacket will last them 10 years and they'll get it tailored for their body type and it'll last them again and again. They'll wear it throughout many seasons. Here in America, we'll buy the tie-dye shirt. We'll buy the jeans. We'll buy the cute top. And season after season, it doesn't last.
Yeah, so disposable clothes.
Mm-hmm. Disposable clothes. They're about sustainability. They'll have five pieces, but they'll get the best, most expensive five pieces, and they'll keep it for a long time. So Parisian style is really about sustainability and building a capsule wardrobe. What does that look like for you? So you girls, your style is definitely a bit more laid back, a bit more boho. So what is that for you? So maybe that is, I can see more of like a linen pant, but instead of getting like a fast fashion linen pant, maybe that's a sustainable cotton pant trouser that is made for you, or that you get it customly made. You see what I'm saying?
So yes.
That's thinking of fashion a bit differently.
And it's like you spend the bigger bucks now, but you save in the long run because you're going to wear it over and over. So Michelle did convince me to buy something, and I'm not a big spender when it comes to clothes. I sometimes, but most of the time I'm not, but Madewell jeans. I usually buy like Old Navy jeans. Then Michelle was like, listen, go spend the $150 and go buy yourself a nice ass pair of jeans. And I did. And I feel like they're going to be the jeans that I wear for like the next five freaking years. And it's worth it.
Yes. So it's thinking about those investment pieces. So like the better jeans. I personally love Frame denim. They just fit me really well. I love a lot of their pieces.
Frame denim. Mm-hmm. Okay. Never heard of them.
Yeah. I love, I don't know if you're familiar by 12th Street by Cynthia Vincent. Cynthia Vincent, the designer, she's CFDA designer. She has a new line called Bacall. They have a trench coat that I adore, that I just, it's one of my capsule pieces that I just will wear forever. I take it wherever I'm traveling. But like, you can't go wrong with a trench coat. That's another classic piece that's just so essential to me. A good crisp white button-down blouse.
Yeah, Meghan Markle likes a good crisp button-down blouse.
You can find one at Brooks Brothers. And Brooks Brothers used to be a little stuffy for me, but I find as I've gotten older, I like some of their pieces.
I actually, that's a really good, I was wondering, where would you find a good white shirt? So you would suggest Brooks Brothers.
But also Frame has a really good
Frame. White. Another Frame, okay.
But you can find Frame at Nordstrom Rack. So it doesn't always have to be so expensive.
Mm-hmm.
When you're looking for quality pieces like that, you can also find them at big box stores. So you can go to your Nordstrom Rack, your Macy's, and find those designer pieces at big box stores for less before you just go to a boutique.
If we were to obtain or procure three or five main basics to create a capsule wardrobe, do you have any recommendations of what those items would be? Or does it depend on the woman and her and the style herself individually?
I believe it has to do with the woman and her style, but there are some pieces that you can never go wrong with. I prefer a straight leg jean over a skinny.
Really?
A blazer. Yes.
Okay. Aren't skinny jeans out now? Skinny jeans are kind of out. I know.
They've
but
never been in for me. I've always preferred a straight leg.
Okay.
A straight leg or a boyfriend jean, but just a straight leg is classic. A blazer.
Like a black blazer.
It could be a black blazer. I like a pop of color blazer.
Okay.
A plaid blazer, just a good blazer that fits you, whatever that. So if it's maybe it's a pink blazer. Maybe it's a green blazer, whatever, navy, whatever, because black doesn't look good on everyone. Depending on your skin tone, you might have more brown, like you might be too pale for black. So maybe navy looks better on you. So that might be your color. It all depends if you're what your skin tone is.
And what about shoes?
I love, you can never go wrong with a white leather sneaker. I am obsessed with a white sneaker.
Big fan.
I cannot go wrong with a white sneaker. I buy them like all the time. Like,
what's your favorite one?
Right. My Alexander McQueen, like high top sneaker. That's like a thicker sole.
Cute.
That's my investment. It's my splurge, but then my Alexander McQueen sneakers, the white leather sneaker. Beautiful.
Do you want to know
what? Wrong. And I love a Birkenstock. I love a
clean
Birkenstock. A white Birkenstock, cannot go wrong. And then if you want to have a nice designer sandal, beautiful Chanel sandal, also another investment piece that you can't go wrong. Some people don't like Chanel for the Nazi ties, which I completely understand. So it doesn't, you don't have to have a Chanel bag, but I do think a clean, structured bag is also a great investment. It does not have to be designer, but a, not a raggedy bag that when you go out, it's like falling apart, but it just sure. clean, oh. like wipe it down with a cloth. I don't like a raggedy bag. My mom, it's so funny. Melissa. She was an elegant lady when she was younger, but when she always had like a big junky bag. And I'm like, no, a clean purse.
Melissa, I had I to have.
I like that's a Midwestern thing.
I had to, it's a Michelle thing.
Is
maybe.
It like a, it's like a tote, like a sack or a tote. Sacks
Wait,
and totes.
Melissa, I had to have an intervention with Michelle because I was like, okay, Michelle, your bag is a. The chunky, dirty backpacks you're bringing into the house. We can't do it anymore. We have to stop.
I don't know,
you know
why
it is?
I
get
lack.
Get rid of that.
She did.
I
did.
A structured bag.
Melissa, you know, there's something that you do on your segments that I love that you do because it's part of your mission, I know. But you really help women obviously find their personal style and then embrace it. But you also help women love the skin that they're in or encourage them to. And we know all the freaking noise that society throws at us and what beauty standards look like. You know, you got to be tall, skinny, and perfect. How do you, for yourself, find your own confidence? And then how do you share it with women who might, I have suffered from the whole like body image, you know, like my stomach's different than it used to be, but I'm starting to just accept that this is my body. It takes work, but we would love to hear some expert advice from you.
Thank you. First of all, I mean, I just look at it as where are you today? And try not to compare to anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Comparison is the thief of joy.
Yeah,
that's just my thing. If I look at it as a host and in this industry, if I compared myself to every other host and style person out there, I would never get out of bed. You have to find your special sauce. Okay. What makes you different? I'm not Rachel Zoe. I'm not Oprah. I'm not Gail. I'm not, you know, whoever hosts that's hot right now. You know, I'm Melissa Chatain. I make people feel comfortable in their clothing. My weakness, I focus on my pain point. My pain point was my lack of confidence. I know what my assets are. And that's what I try to share with other people. I look at other makeover shows in the past that always focus on transforming this person that never felt comfortable into this new thing that they never feel comfortable in. You see that when there's makeovers, they always feel like they're in this costume. Yes. And feel really uncomfortable. And I'm like, no. Let's just take a little bit of where they are or where they were and put a little bit of who they are, keep their essence.
Mm.
I don't want to transform them into something else that's completely different. I want to take their essence and keep their special sauce with them. Mm-hmm. I always focus on their assets. When I work with someone, a personal client, what's your favorite part of your body? What do you want to show off? When I do a makeover on Today's Show, we do the segment Style Me Something Good. I always ask the woman that I'm working with, all the women, it's usually three or four people that I'm styling, what's your favorite part of your body? They usually say my arms or my legs or my décolletage. That's what I want to focus on styling. Why would I hide that?
Right.
I want to get to know the woman and know what she loves about herself so I can highlight that. That's what, when women are styling themselves, they should focus on what they love. They don't need to focus on, well, if I don't like my tummy, it's usually that's where they go to. Well, I don't like my stomach. I didn't ask about your stomach.
Yes.
I want to focus on what you love.
I love
Let's
this.
Highlight that part about you. So for me, I don't love my stomach, but I know I have great tits and great legs. So that's what I show off. Yes. So work with what you got.
So
that's
true.
It. That's only the thing is, work with what you got. Focus on your special sauce and style your assets and the rest will work itself out.
But it's also, that's brilliant. And it's completely rewiring the way you think instead of focusing on the shit you hate about yourself and that you question and you pick and you prod at. It's more about, well, instead about what you don't like, what do you love?
I mean, we just had this.
Focus on what you love.
I love it. It's the fifth thing that we need to do. We just had a conversation about the negative talk that, that we have in our head. And then, you know, putting it into body image. I was sitting last night on a chair and I was so self-conscious of my stomach for whatever reason, the shirt that I had on and the pants that I had on, I just was not feeling comfortable. And I was really kind of focusing on it. And what I should have done is
highlighted.
Show everyone your good boobs.
Taking my shirt
look
off.
Look at your
completely.
Awesome arms.
I know.
You
she's got the skinniest.
Great arms. What is right? wrong with you?
You're like, right. I know.
Your arms. Like, what is your top? Whatever. You skinny bitch. Like, what are you talking about?
I know, but it's so fucked
you're
up.
You're so gorgeous. We...
Thanks, Melissa.
But it is. It's what you put in your brain.
Like, if I had your arms, like, your arms are like literally like push-up arms. Like, you're
having
a great cut right here. Like, what are you worrying about your stomach for? I'm sure.
I know.
This is the thing. When our husbands, our partners are humping us, they're not looking
they
at our poop. They're literally
shit.
Just happy to be there.
You're so I love you right, even more Melissa. Again. Sorry I keep saying that, but you are just a wealth of inspiration and you do such a good job of really kind of just pinpointing all the bullshit we put in our brains. And again, just telling us how to turn it off.
That's it. Styling is not about covering up. It's about highlighting what we love. And then the confidence part is just focusing on what we love about ourselves. And that's... Mm-hmm. That's it. I don't feel like it needs to be that complicated anymore. I'm so tired of styling for your body type. It's about styling for your assets.
Love.
Putting on the colors that you love and that's it. And like, you guys know my newsletter, you know, I've taken a hiatus for a couple weeks because we're transforming Elevated Living to something a little bit better.
Can't wait to see.
And, but you know that the core essence of my newsletter has been my weekly mantras and challenges. And we're actually transforming that into a special like deck that's going to be for sale soon, which
no
I'm really
shit.
Excited about.
Yeah. Oh my God. I feel like we just got like some big news just now. Yeah,
that is the big news. Like that's a project that I've been working on because I've been doing Elevated Living for over 5 years and that's the bread and butter of the newsletter has been the mantras each week. And I'm all about mantras for elevated living. That's how it started because I share these mantras and challenges each week so you can feel better about your life and elevate your confidence. And I'm taking that wisdom and putting it into tangible cards that you can pull each day is like, that's my
sold. Sold.
Awesome.
I pull a tarot card every single day and it's my way of just like, you know, dealing. It's like my therapy for myself. And I've seen on Instagram, a lot of people with their own different kind of decks. They're not all tarot card decks. They're other ones. Will yours be focused primarily on like self and well-being? It's not towards fashion. It's more towards the individual.
No. Elevated Living, it's funny because it's a newsletter, but it's not necessarily on fashion. It's about like living a more holistic life to reach your full potential. So it's just about centering yourself. Like it's a little bit woo-woo. It's a little bit style. It's a little bit empowerment. There's going to be six sets, six different topics. And so whatever card you pull. So it's a little bit like an angel card deck, but just more but mindful.
I cannot love it. Wait to love see it. These. Congratulations on this project. That's huge.
Thank you.
In regards to empowerment and whatnot, you hustle, Melissa. You hustle, you get shit done. We've spoken a lot about like how you're happy with you and your husband. You have cats, you have a beautiful home, you have a beautiful job you love. We've talked about how you don't want to necessarily have children. You kind of have created what you want, your vision. For people out there who are looking, like Michelle and I, we're always looking to, you know, succeed and make our dreams come true. When I see you, I see a woman who set forth, saw dreams, and are actively accomplishing them. Like I see them with the different episodes and the different segments you have on different shows and what you're doing. Oh my God, Melissa, when I saw you on the fucking Oscars, I was like, I had like a slow tear. I was like, she did it. Like, I don't know. For me, the Oscars are big. I love the glitz and glamour of it. I love the fashion of it. And seeing you there, I felt like maybe this is a dream come true for you. Was it?
It was like the next level to cover the Oscars for E. I was like, okay, this is like bucket list. Check.
Wow.
What
kind of advice do you have for women like us who are hustling, who are doing all of the work and sometimes maybe get derailed by that negative self-talk, but want to keep that momentum going to fulfill what they want to do in life?
I'm there with this negative self-talk. I had a meltdown. I've had problems sleeping the last 2 weeks because I get overwhelmed by all the things I have to do. I'm not all like perfect and like have it all figured out, guys. I am just there like the rest of us Okay. We're all figuring it out. Yep. So I don't want you to think like, oh, I'm, you know, I'm hustling and it's great and I'm working and it's all perfect. I have the stresses just like everyone, anxiety, just like everyone else. I have to reset.
Okay.
This is why I'm taking my break and taking some time off, because I need to hit the reset button to clarify, to make sure the dreams are still in alignment, to make sure that I'm still on path. Mm. Don't stop. But one thing that really helps me, I whiteboard a lot. So this is my process. I put my name, Melissa, in the middle, make a circle around it. Then I do a 3, 6, 9 month year stretch goal. Like I separate out in quarters, and then I separate the 3 month goal of what the things I want to accomplish and how do they feel. Cause when I figure out how I want them to feel, that's how they manifest.
Mm-hmm. Goals.
And then
soul.
After the 3 months, you know, I go to the 6 month, and then after the 3 months, and if some things didn't get figured out, I move them down, and then I figure out like if they still are in alignment and what do I need to do to figure them out. But I also, I just have to be really clear on what I want them to be. And I keep it simple. I don't try to overload myself. So like for me, it was a goal, you know, 2-3 years ago to get back to TV. I wanted to be the top national fashion expert on television. I've accomplished that. I right now really want my own television show, working on that. And these things are just moving in motion, but I just have to clarify. But I'm telling you, I had this limiting belief that I could only make money in corporate America for the longest time. That was the only way I could be successful. I was feeling so stuck in that realm when I was in my 20s, and especially because the way that I was raised, being Haitian American, that was the way that my parents made money. Mm-hmm. That's the way they were successful. I had to get that out of my mind. I had to kick that habit. So much clarity, so much self-work, so much meditation and yoga and healing to get out of that mentality, to change that mindset. Because now, I mean, I work for myself. You know, that's like Melissa Chatain is my own business. So I had to focus on that. So it is possible, but it is not easy. It's all about doubling down on yourself. That is it. You have to go all in. It wasn't until I doubled down on myself and went all in is when things started to change.
Wow. Michelle and I have this conversation a lot about like how it is to be stuck in this mindset. Our father, different, old school Italian, like lawyer, doctor, corporate, a lot of corporate. I don't know if he thought his kids were smart enough to be lawyers and doctors. That's sad. But I think he thought, you know, like get into a business where you get your health insurance. So we were wired that way. And as sisters, we unwire that for ourselves and for each other because we know it's possible. But like you said, Melissa, it takes so much hard freaking work.
We've had this conversation a little bit via message.
Yes,
of like,
we have. Via email.
It hurt me for a long time that my dad never, you know, said he was proud of me and doesn't really see what I do as an accomplishment. And now that changes. I mean, now I'm always like, when are you on Hoda next? When are you going to be on today's show? I'm like, oh, look at you. Just all of a sudden.
So his tune has changed a little bit.
A bit. And now, yesterday it was funny because I said, oh, did you watch my segment? And he's like, oh, I don't have time. And I was like, oh, you're so used to it now. But it's funny because it's also, I don't expect anything. Don't expect anything
from
anyone.
That's the key.
And I don't have any expectations. I don't. And also at the same time with all of it, my success is not tied to any show or anything because all of it can just go away tomorrow. You know, you're only as good as your last segment in Hollywood. You're only as good as your last thing. So I don't get tied to my success is not tied to any particular name or show. It's only tied to me.
Love
that. And love you.
Melissa, you have powerful words and I feel them like when you're talking
through the screen.
And you have a lot of wisdom too. And I can only imagine it's through all of the hard work that you've put forth, through your experiences, good and bad. Both, you know,
the pain,
right?
The pain, because you cannot achieve the success and have this like high success and taste of success until you know the pain of the deepest and darkest valleys. I'm telling you, because I've had the darkest days, like losing my sister, losing my mom. You guys know this pain.
Yep. Yep.
So like until you like achieve the darkest pain, then you can understand the joy of being on the highest mountain. Like, know this. So
wow. Yeah. Sorry. I'm the tears bubble up a little bit because it's like, you're so right. It's, and it's, again, it's that Jedi mind trick a little bit, but in this case, it's also recognizing that there is those low, low, low lows. And just as shitty as those feel, there are the opposite. And that's out there too.
Yeah, that's the, those lows are the things that push you forward. And that's where the growth comes. If you want to.
Yes,
I have I have two more questions, and I know we're getting there, but this one, because Melissa, you brought it up, I wanted to ask you how you are doing with your grief. I know that your sister, the loss of your sister was a longer time ago and the loss of your mother was a shorter time ago. How are you faring these days? Are you getting those waves like the rest of us do?
I have to say, I feel like I haven't been able to unpack my mom as much. I mean, when things slowed down during quarantine last March, like I did unpack it a bit, but then I've been throwing myself into work where I've just been like pushing it away. And my husband said to me, he's like, oh, honey, I feel like I can't talk to you about your mom because, you know, you just seem like you're just unavailable for that. And I said, right now, I'm so focused on work and so busy. I put my grief about my mom on the back burner because I can't even unpack it right now because I'm so busy and overwhelmed with work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not necessarily the best place to be. I will be completely transparent about that. And I'm hoping when I get back to Chicago that I'm looking forward to being at home and smelling her and being in that space and just being able to just be in her essence. And that gives me comfort, but I'm also strong in that sense where it's like, it's not like I'm not thinking of her. I just know she's with me and I know she would want me. Like, she also was one that was always powered through and strong. So I just know, like, right now I just have to keep on going and I'll get there. If that makes sense.
It does make sense. And I hope when you go home to visit your dad, you feel that comfort of her like physical presence again with those smells. So powerful.
Yeah.
When you're not doing what you're doing, Melissa, what does Melissa Chatain love doing as we begin to close this out? Because we know the professional side of you. We know a lot about you, but what are you doing? I know you love pottery. And you love
yoga. I am such a homebody. I love pottery. I'm at the pottery studio. It's like two blocks away from me. I'm at the pottery studio like when I'm not home. And then I'm home. I'm truly like a 75-year-old. I do pottery. I do yoga. I do crochet. That's it. You may think I'm the most social person in the world, but when I'm not on camera and hosting, I am doing pottery, crochet, and yoga. Leave me alone. I don't want to hang out. I don't want to go to your dinner party. I don't want to hang out. I don't want to go drinking. I'm doing those three things. Leave me alone. The end, hanging out with my cat. The end.
And that guy you live with, your husband.
Oh, and that guy I live with. Yes, my husband. Yes, that's it. That's all I do. Husband, crochet, yoga,
cats.
I feel
you. We have so much in common. Bye now.
And tarot cards. Bye.
And tarot cards. Bye-bye. This is your card reading for today. Melissa, we cannot thank you enough for taking the energy and the technical difficulties.
It was fine. I love you.
You are wonderful. What a wonderful human. This has been really fun.
Melissa, where can our listeners find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Melissa Chatain, Chataigne. What I would love more than anything is if you guys follow the link on my Instagram and subscribe to my newsletter, Elevated Living, because it is truly the best stuff on the web that you would receive in your inbox every Sunday. It's good stuff, style tips, and more. That's being revamped, but it's good. It's good stuff.
It is good.
My website that is all being revamped. Sometimes you got to freshen it up.
Absolutely.
MelissaChatain.com. That's being dropped soon. And then I have my styling program, Curate, that we revamped as well. So there's a lot of good things underway.
Busy lady.
You can catch me on Daily Pop and Today Show. And I have a new show that's coming out that's on a new platform called ShopFlix. And it's just, it's all good. I just have a lot of good things happening.
You but do. Yeah, you've got a lot happening.
I'm busy.
I'm looking forward for you to take a good couple days off when you come back to Chicago and chill. Yeah. If it's possible, we will see you. If not, we get it. Everything you just delivered to our listeners in regards to those links, we'll pop in our show notes. So easy access for people who are listening. Please sign up for her newsletter. It is so awesome. Melissa, thank you again from the bottom of our hearts. It was so nice. Shout out to Miss Kimberg Friesel, who introduced us.
Oh, yes. The best plane ride ever.
Kimberg is is an unofficial content contributor to the Sister Project, and she now supplies some of our guests. So a huge shout out to her. You guys met on an airplane many moons ago, leaving Chicago to LA. Well, thank you so much to all our listeners who were tuning in. Check out every single thing that Melissa is doing. You will not be sorry. But until then, stay cozy.
Thank you for joining us for today's cozy conversation. For more of The Sister Project, check us out on Instagram at The Sister Proj and our website, www.thesisterprojectblog.com. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and maybe even drop us a review. Until next time, stay cozy.